Welcome, friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, engaging the battle of the worldviews. We're reporting from the front lines of the war of the worldviews. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with me today.
Hey, Kevin.
Hey, Bill.
It's good to be here.
You've been in this battle for a long time, Bill.
You say that periodically as if I need reminding. Is this a Biden moment for me that I've forgotten? How old I am?
I don't think so.
Hey, I just got back from doing a survival down in up in South Dakota
with Team Pack
with Curtis Watley, Curtis has developed his own organization called Bold.
Okay,
uh-huh. And a lot of Team Pack students are, of course, involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be under the umbrella of Team Pack. They work side by side now.
Yeah,
and it was a good week. I got to see Mount Rushmore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I rode my motorcycle up there.
So it was up in Dakotas and then over in Wyoming?
Just in South Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah, I was right there, and beautiful country, and people were free.
Yeah, yeah. I understand that you can go to a restaurant without wearing a mask in South Dakota. Somebody told me that. So if you want to go somewhere and go to a restaurant and not wear a mask, it's South Dakota.
South Dakota.
Mm-hmm. Well, great.
So it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back. I love Curtis and his passion, his love for the Lord, and his discipleship ministry that he's engaging in there. Friends, today we're going to get back to a biblical worldview discussion, and certainly right now we are in the thick of it. Bill, it seems like we've been working a very long time in our ministries, you longer than me, obviously.
Yeah,
your physical appearance, just by the wounds that you have sustained through the years, my friend.
Just the psychological scars.
There you go. Okay. All right.
There's three words for you there. Counseling.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Counseling, right. Yeah. All right. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about this recent Barna study that came out, and George Barna has been monitoring worldview for a while, and on his particular metric, he's come down to 2% of American millennials now holding to the fundamentals of a biblical worldview, 6% of adults, and that's down from 9% 12 years ago, so it's something like a 30% shift or drop off for those who subscribe to a biblical worldview. 61% of American millennials call themselves Christian. That sort of surprised me. And then it surprised me even more when I read the 2%. So out of the 61%, only 2% of American millennials hold to the basics of a biblical worldview, which according to George Barna and according to a survey that he's been conducting since the 1990s, it involves the existence of absolute morals communicated through Scripture. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life. God is the all-powerful, all-knowing creator of the universe. He still rules it today. Salvation is a gift from God and cannot be earned. Satan is real. Christians have a responsibility to share their faith in Christ with other people. And the Bible is accurate in all of its teachings. Now, Bill, I'm guessing that there's still a fairly high percentage of people who believe Satan is real, but there must be certain elements that are rejected on the part of 98% of millennials, and you can guess what those might be.
What?
Well,
what?
It's got to be. They're jettisoning absolutes. They don't want. They don't want the truth. They don't want the ethic.
Are you absolutely sure on that?
I'm absolutely sure. Well, it's hard to say because they didn't. They didn't say which ones that they rejected of this. But these are pretty basic for a biblical perspective. Wouldn't you say that the average church in America should teach this stuff?
Yeah, those are what used to be called the fundamentals of the faith, right?
Yeah.
These are foundational principles. Now, when he first did this survey, what was it, 12 years ago, he said?
Yeah.
You know, it really wasn't a worldview survey. It was just that. It was basic Christian theology. It was the foundational principles, fundamentals of the faith. And it was shocking because less than 50% of self-proclaimed evangelical pastors, according to that survey, had a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really defining worldview at that time, and it was still shocking, and so it's even worse now.
Well, he's attempting something with his absolute ethics, that God is the source and man's not, and God is omnipotent. Doesn't say he's sovereign, but coming close to it. I think it would be nice if he had mentioned something like miracles. I think if he had mentioned something like Jesus is the Son of God who died on the cross for our sins and rose again the third day, which would have been what? the gospel. I think it would have been helpful if he had included that. But whatever the case here, Bill, this is basic stuff. This is really basic stuff.
Right. He doesn't dig deeply into worldview. This is, again, basic theology. This is third grade Sunday school theology, quite frankly.
And the other takeaway is, friends, out of the 67% or 61% of people who call themselves Christians, only 2% of these millennials are Christian. And that's a shocking thing to me, that 97% of people who call themselves Christians would not be Christians in the most fundamental sense. That is, we're not talking about arguing over how much water to use in a baptism here, Bill. We're not talking about whether women should wear head coverings in the church. We're not talking about the tertiary issues. We're talking about the fundamentals. Wouldn't you say, I mean, God is the source of ethics. God has the right to tell us what is right and wrong.
God's sovereign.
And God is sovereign over all things. You know, Satan is real. The Bible's accurate in all its teachings. The minute you say, you know, I don't believe the Bible's accurate, and I don't believe that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life, and I don't believe in absolute morals as communicated through us through the Word of God, I just don't believe in any of that. At that point, I've got to conclude, you're just not a Christian at the most fundamental level.
You are at best on a sea of opinions with a million options and no compass to guide you, and that compass is God's Word. Christians should adhere to the Word of God as their compass for pointing them to true north.
Yeah.
And they don't.
And they're not doing it. They're
sticking their finger, they're licking their finger and sticking it in the wind.
I've used your illustration in, you know, 60 conferences, and I have never footnoted you.
I stole it from somebody else.
Oh, you probably did, yeah.
Christians borrow from each other. It's an absolute.
Modern man is wandering around in a snowstorm in Antarctica, and he's tethered to nothing. So
yes.
That was your illustration, and I have used it many times. But that's, friends, what's happening with 97% of Americans who call themselves Christians. They're just not Christians. Why? Because they're giving up on the most fundamental concrete footer in the foundation of biblical thinking, and that is that God is God. Wouldn't you say this basic stuff here? God is God. God's in charge. God makes the rules.
And you're not.
And you're not.
Yeah. Two big points.
And 97% of those who call themselves Christians say, I don't believe that kind of stuff. Friends, 2% of Americans who call themselves Christian, still Christian. 2% of Christians, or 2% of millennials who call themselves Christian, are Christian. That's very low. That's probably the lowest in American history. Be back with more in just a moment. We're going to talk about why 61% of American millennials still refer to themselves as Christians, but only 2% are. We're going to ask ourselves, well, what happened? What happened to the other 97%? That's next on the Generations broadcast.
Are you homeschooling this year and feeling a little in over your head? Are you burdened by expectations for your kids in their future college, career, and success? We've got just the thing for you. This October 12th through 6th, find super practical, eternal-focused help for raising your children to be disciples of Jesus Christ in the midst of homeschooling at the free online Homeschool Upgrade Summit. Whether this is your 20th year of homeschooling or your very first one, get ready for a big upgrade to your vision, relationships, academics, and success, that in everything, Christ might have the preeminence. We've got a great lineup of speakers, including Kevin Swanson, Vodi Bauckham, Rosaria Butterfield, Dave and Karen Eubank from Free Burma Rangers, Dr. Carlton McLeod, and many more. Set your homeschool on the path to true success by signing up today. You can register for free at homeschoolsummits.com/upgrade. That's homeschoolsummits.com/upgrade.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also here. Friends, today, taking a look at the Barna survey, sort of bad news for those of us who would hope that we've made a little bit more progress over the last 12 years. A 30% fall off on anybody who holds to the very basics of a biblical worldview. Only 2% of millennials still hold to a biblical worldview, although 61% of American millennials still refer to themselves as Christian. But why the 97% faking it? And how in the world did we lose 97%? of those who call themselves Christians obviously had some kind of connection with the Christian church. How do you lose 97%? Bill, I have to conclude, it has to have something to do with the influence that comes from the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, the institutional force. The kings of the earth, the institutions of the world have set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us break their bands asunder. Now, that's basic, right? Let us break the bands of God asunder. Let us cast away his cords from us. That just means, you know, we just want to be autonomous. We want to be completely out from under the laws of God. And we want to throw God's restrictions away. And, of course, he that sits in the heavens shall laugh. But the idea is there's safety in numbers. There's a mass institutional support for autonomy. And they have the support of the institution. And there's comfort there. There shouldn't be, but there is. And, you know, I think what you're dealing with is these tremendous institutional forces. The worldly forces have got them. They're not getting their worldview from the church. They're getting it from Elsa in Frozen. You know, let it go, can't hold it back anymore, let it go, no right, no wrong for me, I'm free. That worldview, very, very strong, and I don't think I got more pushback from pastors than my critique of Frozen. I think that was my number one pushback from pastors in the history of the generation's broadcast.
Yeah.
But that's because they're so taken up by the zeitgeist. They're pastored, they're shepherded by the zeitgeist, not just the 97% of millennials. We're talking about their pastors are shepherded by Elsa and Frozen and Disney. So, Bill, I think the influence of just the general zeitgeist, not just Disney, not just the film industry, but, you know, everything, everything, the universities, seminaries. I'm wondering if the seminaries could be a big problem as well.
No, they have been for some time. I mean, starting back in the mid-1800s, we sent our educational elite to Europe to be educated in the universities and seminaries there. They came back.
Yeah.
They began to teach in our seminaries and our universities. And then what happened is it hit the pew and then spilled out into the culture in the 60s and the 70s. And we have seen the result of that two generations later with Antifa, with BLM, with all of this that has crept into the church. And so the problem is not out there. The problem
we have
is,
found the enemy.
Yeah, and he is?
Us.
I am the problem because I love Jesus with my heart, but I'm trained to think secularly. And what you pour into a person's mind will determine what he thinks. What he thinks will determine how he acts, regardless of his heartfelt faith. So we really have, in a sense, schizophrenic Christians. They love Jesus here with their hearts, but they think and therefore they act secularly. So you will not convince them necessarily in a short conversation that they are schizophrenic. They think they are true Christians, and they may love Jesus with their heart. They may have had a salvation experience, but we are to be transformed not by the removing of our mind, but by the
renewing of our minds.
And what the culture has done has removed our minds. What the church has done has made this an emotional experience and has removed our minds. So therefore, we do not think God's thoughts after him. In this survey, one thing that struck me was it says that 32% of churched adults say they feel disappointed by the church experience at least half of the time, and 40% leave feeling guilty. Now, what are the key words there? They feel and they have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And experience.
Right. They're not just getting the experience they want. That's why. That's the complaint there, right?
And that's the culture. Mm. See, that's secularism. Secularism bases what you know off your feelings. If it feels good, do it, was the mantra back in the 60s. We don't say that much anymore, but that's how we act.
Mm-hmm.
And yet church is to train us to think. We are to be filled with God's word and then chew on it like a cow chews on a cud. What the culture says is empty your mind and just go with your
feelings.
Feelings.
Nothing but feelings. You know,
again, getting back to this survey, only 2% of American millennials hold to a biblical worldview. Although 61% say, yeah, we still like Jesus. Friends, that's pretty bad. And the fundamental problem, of course, is this absolute issue, the fact that the survey included that God makes the rules, that the scripture is the source of absolute ethics. And that was the bugaboo. That was the point at which 61% or something like 59% of the American population of Christians abandoned ship. And again, the most important doctrine, I think, taught by the leading evangelicals selling books at Christian book distributors is this very issue of autonomy, that I am a law unto myself. That's the fundamental proposition for Jen Hatmaker and Rachel Hollis. Jen Hatmaker announced in 2018 that Jesus came to, quote, affirm the LGBT of community. And also evangelical Christian book publishers lists Rachel Hollis's book as the number one favorite for evangelicals in 2019, including the infamous chapter 19, where she insisted that, quote, there isn't one right way to be, and it's okay to be gay. So, friends, again, this is the doctrine. This is what is taught by evangelicals, by the leading evangelicals that are being sold by Christian book distributors and all the other big evangelical book distributors out there. This is the doctrine of the modern humanist. This is a very different religion. It's as different of religion as Islam. It's as wrong as Hinduism. It is as wrong as the animist witch doctors in Africa. This is just a different religion, all right? This is a different metaphysic and ethic. This is nothing like Christianity. And that's what constitutes 97% of Americans who believe they're Christians but deny the most basic propositions of a biblical worldview. So, friends, why is it? This is the question that's rattling around my brain, Bill. Why is it that, here, I've been at this for 16 years. I mean, look at me. I grew old doing this program.
Yeah, it's worn.
It's worn on me. Yeah, I got wrinkles. You want to see my hands all wrinkled up and stuff?
You know what I do to avoid that?
Uh-huh.
Don't look in the mirror.
Okay, that helps. I'm haggard. I'm wrinkled. I've been at this for a long time. So have you. By the way, you're more haggard.
Hey, stop.
Okay.
Just stop in a godly way. Just shut up.
Okay. Well, Worldview Academy, Generation, Summit Ministry, you know Summit Ministries, right? And
yep,
there are lots of these worldview ministries that have worked so hard, and yet, Bill, we've lost 30% ground in 12 years. What's going on here? Is it the churches? What's going on? What's happening?
You know what I say?
What's happening?
That means that I have job security.
Well, that's true. You do have job security.
And it also tells me that there's more there should be more organizations than we can name on one hand.
Thank you.
That are doing what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There is plenty of room at the table. I've said this for 25 years. There is plenty of room at the table for organizations to teach worldview. And it is fundamental that we teach worldview, because we do have a lot of people who love Jesus with their hearts, but their minds are trained to think secularly. And we need to get people to think God's thoughts after
Him. Roughly 97% of the Christian population.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I know.
I'm not talking about just the non-Christians. 97% of the Christian population are not grounded in a biblical worldview.
Right.
97%, Bill. 97%.
But that shouldn't surprise us, because it is the water in which we fish swim.
Yeah.
It is the culture in which we're immersed. Mm-hmm. And you and I constantly fight against it in our own personal lives.
Oh, yeah.
And we're aware of worldview. Mm-hmm. So why should we be surprised when those who've never been taught
are swept up into it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Friends, a couple of other takeaways before we're done with this segment of the Generations program. And that is, please, let's be realistic. Put not your trust in princes, certainly not in Washington, D.C. That's a big takeaway. And we want to get to the elections on an upcoming broadcast, Bill. But here's a huge takeaway. The grassroots is doing worse than ever. We're not in a winning position for political success. Any perceived political success is a mirage until we see something of a worldview reformation occurring in the grassroots. Bill, I think, again, let's not just be impressed with what's happening on the window coverings and the expression of a biblical worldview out in the political realm, when really we need the work done within the churches, in the families and such. Let's pray that the 2% or the 6% of adults who still hold to a biblical worldview will start to make a difference in their families, their churches and communities, that they won't keep sending their kids off to the public schools, to be sure that the next generation will be like 0.2%, right? I mean, let's, you know, if we send our kids to, if we as the 6% of adults who still hold to the basics of a Christian worldview send the next generation of kids off to the public schools, then the 2% of millennials will turn into 0.2% by the year 2040. So
we deserve the judgment that will be brought upon
us.
Oh, man. And we're seeing that now. And we need to get louder. Mm-hmm. We as Christians who have a biblical worldview do not need to retreat from culture. We need to get louder. And I don't mean abrasive. I don't mean, you know, just harsh. I mean, we need to proclaim truth and grace more clearly and loudly throughout the culture.
Friends, as we wrap up this program today, somebody mentioned this to me, Bill, just a couple of days ago. It must have been in the Shepherd Conference, which is going on in our home right now. We got 40, 50 guys in the basement here.
Yeah, just, I had to wade through them to get to the bunker.
Yeah, you did.
I thought maybe there was a call to an apocalypse or something.
Everybody was coming into the bunker with me. We're all just hanging out together and studying God's word and enjoying times of worship and community and fellowship. It's been great. But somebody mentioned, you know, do you think it's about time for another church councils, you know, where we address the issue of humanism? And yeah, you know, there have been statements made about a distinctively Christian worldview, and that would be the Nicene Creed, the Nicene Council from 325 AD and such. But in some respect, the ultimacy and sovereignty of God is as basic as the Trinity. And we are dealing with 800 years of humanist ideology that has decimated the worldwide church. And it seems to me that, you know, how many hundreds and hundreds of years do you have to go through in which humanism, that is a humanist ideology which states that man is the source of ethics, the gin hat maker stuff, and that man is the source of truth, and that man is the source of reality, and man is intended to be absolutely sovereign versus God as sovereign. The clashing of worldviews that has happened between humanism and Christianity has been very, very distinct, and yet it seems to me that the churches aren't standing up on these basic issues. They certainly aren't teaching their own people. That's evident from the fact that 61% of millennials claim to be Christian, only 2% hold to a biblical worldview. And there's such rampant apostasy in the Methodist churches, the evangelical churches, the non-denom churches, Southern Baptists, and so on. And the existing doctrinal statements representing Protestantism and evangelicalism and orthodoxy from the first centuries of the church, Bill, I don't think they're enough to distinguish between the 61% and the 2%. That is, I think we've come to the point at which humanism is as bad as Arianism,
it's almost the same thing, is it not?
Well,
that Jesus is not truly divine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he is a created being, right?
Yeah.
He's merely man,
yeah.
But
mm-hmm.
he's elevated man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what humanism teaches.
It always wants to elevate man into a demigod state or what have you.
Is this not what Satan believed?
It's
I can become one.
The old doctrine, you know, republished in another form.
There's
right?
nothing new under the sun. I can become like you, God. I can become you. I don't need you. I can become you. That's what's being taught.
And friends, what I'm saying is there's such apostasy in the non-denominational churches. There's such apostasy in the Methodist churches. At some point, I think we need to draw a line of distinction. It needs to be a doctrinal line of distinction between that which is biblical and that which is not biblical, that which is humanism, that which is a distinctively Christian worldview. That is, you know, you get all these people assume the non-denoms are fine. They assume the PCAs are fine. They assume the Methodists are fine. But there's a huge percentage of Methodist churches that are very bad. There's a percentage of PCA churches that are very bad. There's a percentage of non-denominational churches that are very bad. I think it's time to call it out with a worldwide council or at least a statement where hundreds of thousands of pastors can sign on. I've seen long and drawn out confessions. People are urging upon ecumenical councils and such. But Bill, I think I would suggest something short, something to the point, much like the Nicene Creed.
Yeah, less is more.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, I'm going to throw this out as we wrap up the program. This is Kevin Swanson's best shot at distinguishing between a Christian faith and the humanist faith, which has been very much incorporated into almost every evangelical denomination. We need to just draw the line. Say, okay, here's the line.
Well, to borrow from a great rock and roll song, hit me with your best shot. Okay?
All right, here we go, Bill. Here, and again, this is as succinct as I can make it, and friends, it is not the end all and be all. If somebody else would like to produce something similar, please do it, but make it short. I think that's what we're saying. First thing, God is sovereign. Of God and through God are all things. Okay, the Romans 11:36. I think I'm safe there. Number two, salvation is of the Lord. That's Jonah, by the way. We have Jonah stepping up to the microphone. And by the way, if you're in the belly of a fish, 6,000 feet under the surface of the water in the Mariana Trench, you're going to get that.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
That's going to be very basic.
Once you're burped up, that's going to stick with your mind.
Yeah, you're going to get that. Salvation is of the Lord. That is, God saves us. We don't save ourselves. And human power and governments cannot save us. Number three, God, not man, is the source of truth and ethics. And this is the point that, of course, we're drawing from the Barna survey. God, not man, is the source of truth and ethics. God's word is absolutely trustworthy, and man's word is not. Homosexual inclinations and actions constitutes a sin because God says it's a sin. Okay, number four, sin is the transgression or opposition to God's law in thought, word, and deed. God's law determines right and wrong, not man-made paradigms such as Marxism, intersectionalism, critical race theory, or any other man-made categorical system of ethical thought. And then number five, Jesus Christ came to save us from our sins. That's it. What do you think, Bill? That's
I think that you've hit it on the nail on the head. You've said it succinctly. And people are going to reject two major items on your list.
Which would be what?
The first and the last.
The first and the last.
The first, that is God is sovereign. The last, that Jesus Christ is the way.
Savior. Yeah. The way, the truth, and the life. Yeah. Well, I would hope that true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ would receive that message.
Yeah.
Friends, I'm open to inputs on this, but isn't it about time that we draw the line and then ask every Methodist church and every non-denom church, which side are you on? Isn't it time to just draw that line and ask that question?
It's, you know, doing that is much like asking a politician to give you his position on a controversial issue.
Well, yeah, that issue too.
It won't happen.
Okay. Well, let's wrap it up, my friends. Let me encourage you to worldview savviness, and I'd encourage you to our book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to understand the worldviews and the contrast of those worldviews with a Christian worldview. That is the zeitgeist that is so infected 97% of Christian millennials, or those who call themselves Christians, we need to know what these false worldviews look like, and then we need to present a biblical worldview as a contrast with that. Also, we have a course for a high school level student on this very issue. It's called Worldviews in Conflict, and that textbook and workbook available at our website as well. Worldviews in Conflict and the market book, Apostate, the Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, available at generations.org.
If I might add, I just came out with a new 9-week study guide, a 9-week devotional called The Ways of the Wizards versus the Way of the Wise Man, that dovetails with this as well. It's available at worldview.org if anybody's interested.
Very good. Okay. Well, friends, you've been listening to the Generations broadcast. These resources available at worldview.org or generations.org. Check it out today. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.